Shall I start that again? Just for the benefit of the congregation, it's just brief. We're doing a summary now of Jiva Goswami. It's a bit high. Can you slide it up a bit now? Hopefully. Yeah, thanks. A bit more secure. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay. Let's see what happens. We're fraught with electrical problems, it seems. But anyway. Yeah, so Jiva Goswami, he was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and he displayed all the charming features of a Mahapurusha, a divine person. He had lotus eyes, high nose, forehead, broad chest, long arms, and radiant golden body. And then it says, in his boyhood, he made a deity of Krishna Balaram, expressing his pure devotion. He would often cry while worshipping them and offering clothes, chandan, flowers, ornaments, and tasty sweets to Krishna Balaram. He would take some and give the Mahaprasadam to his playmates. From the beginning, Jiva showed kindness to other Jivas, living entities. Jiva was so much attached to Krishna Balaram that at the bedtime he would embrace his deities and fall asleep. His parents thought he was only playing, but the villagers rejoiced to see Jiva's love of Krishna Balaram. Now this reminds me of a certain person that used to come on Harinam. His name was Richard, and he was a very special person. It's very emotional, gentle, but somehow very intelligent. But sometimes his emotions got a bit better of him. But he was a wonderful person, and he started to get deities from Acharya, and also some dogs, you know. And he used to tell me about how at night he would hug them and cuddle them, and how he was so happy that they were with him and looking after him. He was very, very special. You know, it was a natural thing to him. He was so he was such an affectionate person, and he used to come on our Harinams every Saturday. You know, without fail. And sometimes people would, make fun. But sometimes he might respond. But generally, you know, he was absorbed in this Harinam. So this reminds me of him. So, Richard, wherever you are now, you had these wonderful feelings in you of affection that Jiva Goswami showed his deities. And then it says here, in school, this is Jiva Goswami, that is. In school, he quickly mastered Sanskrit grammar, poetry, logic, philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam, which he gave his life. Krishna Katha filled him with happiness. No one dared to speak to him about anything but Krishna. He toured Navadeep Dham and Srila Nityananda Prabhu with Nityananda Prabhu, and he studied Sanskrit and Benares, and then resided in Vrindavan after humbly serving Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts, and editing his books. And then he received Diksha. Once an aging Vaishnav, Vallabhacharya, gave critical advice to Srila Rupa Goswami in his writing. although much younger than the venerable Vallabha, Sri Jiva brazenly spoke in defense of his guru. Srila Rupa Goswami scolded Jiva for telling him to leave and telling him to leave Vrindavan. He then lived in an abandoned crocodile hole, and which was near Srila Rupa's Bhajankirti. Jiva Goswami began fasting. You see, what had happened, Rupan and Sanatan, they signed a declaration form to this Vallabha Acharya, saying that he had defeated them. They didn't want to debate with him. They didn't want to waste their time. You know, they could have, but they didn't. They don't want to debate with just pandits and to boost their ego. And so they said, they signed a form of declaration that they had been defeated by him. They didn't mind. Then they got on with their bhajan. And Jiva Goswami, he reacted to this when he heard this. And he encountered this Vallabhacharya when he came and defeated him. He was their disciple because he thought this is wrong. You know, that so he was defending his guru's reputation. Jiva Goswami, after being chastised by Rupa Goswami, he was sent away and he began pining. He says, "Go from here. You know, you dared to speak to him." And so, in such a way, this is shameful. And so Jiva Goswami was brokenhearted because he only wanted to protect his guru. So there's a lesson, they say, the acharyas, they say, that Vacho Vegam, Manasakoda Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Jiva Pasta Vegam. And then he said that he should have controlled himself in line with this. So that's one way of looking at it. But at the same time, when somebody is blasphemed, you know, a devotee tends to try and defend. It can happen. So there's two ways. But to go from this place, you must leave that place immediately if you can't defeat them. He defeated them, you know. But this was, he says, no, you should have been tolerant. And so then after some time, he was fasting. Sanatan Goswami spoke to Rupa Goswami, "Look, Jiva Goswami, he's fasting. He's not taking prasad or anything, and he's staying in a tree, I think it was." And he said to Rupa Goswami, "Surely Jiva is got a special meaning. Jiva is there's this saying, Jiva Doya. And so we should be merciful to the Jiva Doyas. So why are you not merciful to Jiva? You know, Jiva Goswami." And that he relented, you know, by the guidance of his brother, and he called him back for his service. So that's a very interesting pastime. So, but it showed actually certain examples of behavior of such a great scholar, a great person. He just went and cried because it was his dearest spiritual master and he didn't want to offend him. So then it says here, Srila Prabhupada commented on this disciple pastime. It says he's cast out Jiva to teach us that devotees of today a lesson. It is not done to teach or punish Jiva Goswami, who was perfectly liberated, an eternal associate of Lord Krishna. Rupa Goswami sent Jiva Goswami out of Vrindavan to teach all Jivas what he spoke in the Upadeshamrita. Vacho Vegam, Manasakuru Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udarapasta Vegam. At all times, a devotee should control his tongue, his speech, and always remain humble. Trinadapi Sunichena. After the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami became the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya guide, and all the Vaishnavas in Navadeep, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, although he was the undisputed leader, he always acted as a humble servant to all the Jivas. Whenever the Bengali Vaishnavas visited Vrindavan, he would lovingly receive them and arrange prasadam and comfortable rooms for them all. Now, a super excellent Sanskrit scholar, Jiva Goswami would compose Sanskrit verses in his mind, write them down without changing anything, and then write them down. It means he used to use a mental stylus to permanently etch them on palm leaves. This inscription is the method that left no room for erasing, rewriting, or a spell check. No, yet each verse was a priceless gem, a perfect meter, rhythm, poetry, meaning. He was the greatest philosopher in all Indian history. And I could list the books, but we should know that Jiva Goswami was also the example of a great soul, humble, and at the same time, giving guidance to all the Vaishnavas with his great books that we so cherish today. The Sandarbhas are eminent amongst these books which guide our acharyas today. And then what I'd like to do, his samadhi is in Radha Damodar Temple. So so now I'd like to speak about Jagadisha Pandit briefly. Shai Shri Shri Radha Gokunda Gornitai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Shai. So Jagadisha Pandit is described in the Gaura Ganodesh Dipika 192 as follows. Jagadisha and Hiranya previously appeared as the wives of the Janik Brahmanas of Raj. The Lord asked for grains and they were offered to Vishnu on Ekadashi. The Gaura Ganapitipika also says that the Chandrahasa, the expert dancer and knower of mellows of Raja, has now appeared as Sri Jagadisha Pandit. So he had passed. He is one of the gopis, of Vrindavan in the spiritual world. A description of Mahaprabhu's eating grains offered to Vishnu on Ekadashi at the house of Hiranya Jagadish. Jagadish is found in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so Nityananda Prabhu with his associates are the life and death, life and wealth of the most effulgent Jagadisha Pandit. He had the association of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. And just a little bit more. And so, the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, tasting rasa of the Chaitanya Leela, he became Jagadisha Pandit. He's from the spiritual world, but he took great pleasure in dancing for the Lord. Jagadisha Pandit is considered to be simultaneously both Lord Nityananda Shaka in the Lord Nityananda branch. There are two branches in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's the branches of, or the followers of Lord Nityananda tree, pure devotees, and there's those in the branch of Lord Chaitanya. Well, he appeared in both branches. They seem to have both have a great regard for Jagadisha Pandit as it is a wonderful dancer. And then when he died, he came with his wife. Jagadisha and his wife, Dukhini, had the same kind of parental affection for little Nimai as Jagannath and Sachi themselves. Dukhini was the mother of Nimai, and even sometimes he acted as a wet nurse. Nimai, the son of Sachi, is none other than the son of Yashoda, the Supreme Lord Krishna incarnate. That it is not possible for anyone but an eternal associate of the Lord to have the good fortune to treat him like a son in this way. So he was treating Nimai, young Nimai, as a son. He had that special association. Mahaprabhu showed through his pastimes how dear he was considered, how he considered Jagadisha Pandit. Mahaprabhu is the father of the Sankirtan, and even as a child, he tricked everyone into chanting the holy names. And the other neighbors would clap their hands and sing the names of the Lord in order to please Lord Chaitanya and stop his crying. One Ekadashi day, however, Nimai kept on crying despite Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra's chanting the names. What do you want, child? What must we give you to make you stop crying? And Nimai answered, today they have made a rice offering to Vishnu at Jagadisha's house. I want to eat some of that prasad. Give me some of that prasad and I will stop crying, said Nimai. The Lord grabbed the things of the devotee in that he doesn't offer him, but he shows no interest in whatsoever of the gist of the non-devotee. So Jagannath Mishra was amazed to hear Nimai say such things. How could he know that Jagadisha Pandit made rice for the offering on the Kadashi? Jagannath Mishra immediately went to his neighbor's house and was surprised to see the large offering there to their Vishnu deity. Jagannath told Jagadisha Nimai's request and adding that he was worried that he would not, it would not be correct for him to eat the rice on an Ekadashi day. But eternal associate Jagadisha Pandit knew that it was little Gopal in the form of Nimai who was hungry. So without hesitation, he gave him the entire offering of Jagannath Mishra. As soon as Nimai received the plate, he immediately stopped crying and joyfully began to eat. He You see, Jagadisha seemed to have this sort of relationship that he understood that Nimai was the Supreme Lord. And so he was also in many, many kirtans with Mahaprabhu in different places. He was always greatly favored. Jagannath Deva saw Jagadisha crying and mercifully appeared to him in a dream and told him to take his vigraha and serve it simultaneously. He appeared to the king of Orissa and ordered him to take time and then Nalakavara, when the wooden deity of Jagannath is changed and the outgoing form would be given to Jagadisha Pandit. Thus, when he met Jagadisha, Maharaj considered to be a great honor to give him Jagannath's outgoing form, which was known as the Samadhi Stiha Vigraha. So, I think I'd better finish there because we ought to start the verse. It's a very special verse. So, sorry to take so long of these remembering. But Jagadisha Pandit was, his service was dancing. So, it's something to consider that actually when you dance, it is a service and it's very special. It's not just an ecstatic gesture of enjoyment for yourself. It's service. It's a wonderful thing to give service. So, I'm sorry to keep you on this. I didn't realize it would take so much time. So we're doing text 29. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. When the personality Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and under pressure of fear completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Purport. The royal dress of the personality of Kali is artificial. The royal dress is suitable for a king or a kshatriya, but when a lower class man artificially dresses himself as a king, His real identity is disclosed by the challenge of a bona fide kshatriya, like Maharaj Parikshit. A real kshatriya never surrenders. He accepts the challenge of his rival kshatriya, and he fights either to die or to win. Surrender is unknown to a real kshatriya. In the age of Kali, there are so many pretenders dressed and posed like administrators or executive heads. But their real identity is disclosed when they are challenged by a real kshatriya. Therefore, when the artificially dressed personality of Kali saw that to fight Maharaj Parikshit was beyond his ability, he bowed down his head like a subordinate and gave up his royal dress. Om Banyana Timandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshon Milatam Yena Tasme Sri Gurave Nama Vancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavanabeho Vaishnavabeho Namo Namaha. So, this is very interesting. The potency of Maharaj Parikshit was in that he was a kshatriya. He was a Mahajan. He was a great soul. He could kill thousands of soldiers on the battlefield, but he was a Mahatma as well. And he was, it says that actually he gave this in the previous verse, I think it was. Maharaj Parikshit could fight with 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus pacified the personality of religion of the earth. Then he took up a sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of irreligion. And so we start to see, and it refers to, I think it's verse 20 purport, how that Maharaj Parikshit had no doubts in what he had to do. Before that, the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of the earth, Bhumi Devi, that they were suffering at the hands of this beating that they were receiving. But they wouldn't blame anybody. He asked them, he said, look, you can tell me, who is this? Why aren't you protesting? But they gave the answer. It's very difficult to tell the complexities of religion and philosophies, different philosophies. So they didn't want to point the finger, because they say the person that points the finger gets the reaction as well. It says that, actually, and that's interesting, because it says, critics take the karma. You criticize somebody, as a behavior, you start talking about someone and you hear it, or the others there listening, it's an offense, not only to the person, but it's offense, becomes the offense of the hearers. So what happens, that if you criticize someone, the reaction is that you get whatever good karma they had. You get bad karma that they had if you criticize that person. They get whatever good karma you have in exchange. So in a way, it's so be careful if you criticize someone, because that someone will get your good karma, the person that you criticize will get the critic's good karma. So you've got to be very careful. And that's from the Mahabharata. So there's these, ultimately they know that the person behind everything is the Supreme Lord. That actually, whatever's happening to me, I deserve anyway. So how can I complain? The Supreme Lord is behind every activity in this world. But at the same time, a policeman, if a crime is committed in this world, you can say that he has to do his job. Likewise, Parikshit was that man. He is the policeman. He has a job to do. He's not concerned about, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. He knows what his business is. He is positive in everything he does. He says, and in text 20 of this this wonderful Bhagavatam of this chapter. It says that Prabhupada, in the purport, he explains that the devotee is not concerned about the results of his activities. He does his duty. Whatever the results are, that's not his concern. That isn't the good Lord's hands. So, and there's a very nice, it's Bhagavad Gita. Don't take shelter of the results of your activities. You must do your activities. If you're a cook, maybe even burn something. But that's not your problem. You must do your duty. You must somehow come up with the goods. But sometimes there's mistakes. That's not in our hands. That is in the good Lord's hands. Now, however great a cook you may be, it may not work out. So we have to understand that there's a greater force over the results of our activities. So don't take shelter of the results of your activities. Take shelter of your service. That's the thing you take shelter of. Service is non-different from Krishna. He and his service are non-different. They're on the transcendental plane. So there should be no fear, but if you have somebody who's your guide and there's a mistake and it is incompetency, then, you know, if something happens and something's burnt, you know, you may report back to the cook, but you report it to the person who will take the complaint to the cook. So you have an authority. You don't go and complain to the cook personally. It's not a good thing. You give it to, you think, it was burnt today. And if so many people complain about being burnt, the authority will have to take action. So or whatever you do, you have to go through authority. And so King Parikshit was the authority in this case. And the personality of religion could understand that he was going to leave it to his intelligence, it said. He said, but his intelligence was that of a Kshatriya, but it was also that of a devotee. The understanding of his higher calling, that actually, I have to do it, we'll see what happens. And of course, with King Parikshit, we know in this Bhagavatam, the eventuality of King Parikshit's service was to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the perfection of all religion. So this is the culmination of so-called a mistake of putting a snake round a sage's neck by King Parikshit. When he'd left the kingdom, and he thought it was a terrible thing he'd done. He regretted it, and the Brahmana's son who had the snake put, the great sage, his son cursed King Parikshit, and so we have Srimad Bhagavatam. As a result of this encounter, is the fruit of the activity lies in the ultimate conclusion, which brought Srimad Bhagavatam, brought Krishna into the world of Kali. So this is our good fortune, but some may say, poor King Parikshit, but no, he was an ecstatic instrument in hearing this wonderful narration by Sukadeva Goswami. And because he said, what do I do now? I'm being cursed. I have to accept this curse. I made a mistake. That was his humility. The Lord rewarded him. When you're crying about something you've done and you think, he said, let me take the reaction. And of course, the reaction was that his acceptance in all humility, Krishna sent Sukadev Goswami to speak the Bhagavad Gita. He was asking, what shall I do at death? And the sages, they said this and that. But then Sukadev Goswami came and they all bowed, all the sages bowed down to him. The Lord himself had sent Sukadev Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the king Parikshit was sincere in his regret. But in his sincere regret, he had an ecstatic departure from the world, where he left his body before even the snake bird had bitten him. So this is an amazing thing, because he was in ecstasy. He was in the spiritual world at that time. So let's, and I thank you for your patience, let's contemplate this great King Parikshit and his wonderful sacrifice became a glorious gift to him. So sacrifice can bring gifts, but we don't know about it. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, so any comments, questions in maybe 2 minutes? Maybe 2 minutes. Sorry about taking so long about the earlier part. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Prema Nandi.